When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through you? Well, we're giving them to you. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street, USA.
For a generation of listeners, that wonderful Irving Berlin tune betokened the world of F. Scott Fitzgerald and The Great Gatsby. That was the theme used for the 1974 film. I'm Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on WPPB 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting. And it seems like The Great Gatsby is everywhere these days, a multi-million dollar Hollywood film with that youngster, I forget his name, he's been in a couple of movies. We are celebrating The Great Gatsby with two of the most charming and lovely and smart people I know, the beautiful and the darned Emily Burgle, one of our great cabaret performers and actors and just generally clever people, and Will Friedwald, who is the jazz critic for the Wall Street Journal and an occasional guest here on this show, and they have something very special to share about Fitzgerald and music and The Great Gatsby. So, Will, why don't you tell us a little about what that's going to be?
Well, I did a piece in May in the Journal, right as the Baz Luhrmann picture was coming out. The fascinating thing that's sort of coincidental to our project is that, of course, the Baz Luhrmann movie uses a whole score of rap and hip-hop and stuff like that, which, you know, as an artistic decision, you know, you really can't say it's wrong. It's stupid, but it might not be wrong. But the ironic thing is, you know, to do that with F. Scott Fitzgerald is kind of singularly inappropriate in the sense that Scott Fitzgerald is alone among great American authors in that his books are filled with music. I don't necessarily just mean the movies of those books, but the books themselves, all of his stories, all the novels. There's songs.
Even the title, Tales of the Jazz Age. You got
right up front. Of course. He put jazz in the title of one of his books, right.
And there's even major plot points that hinge upon a certain song being played on a record player or hearing a tinkle of notes being played on a piano in the distance.
And Emily is totally right. When that happens, you don't. Fitzgerald just doesn't say, oh, you know, somebody played a bunch of notes in the background. He tells you specifically what song it was and what part of the song it was, usually. Sometimes he'll quote a lyric and say that he heard this lyric in the background. So, like I say, there's no other author that does that, that really puts music right in the middle of his stories. He helps establish his characters with music. I mean, it's really so central to Fitzgerald's writing that his books can be said to have soundtracks.
So lucky for us, if you go see the movie and you miss the music, then you can come see our show.
That's almost a mixed blessing, exactly.
Yeah. We'll get to your show in a moment because I want to do get some of this music. So we're going to be borne back ceaselessly into the past for the next 58 minutes. And there's a song from a wonderful Jerome Kern show called Very Good Eddie, Will, which you said has a particular spot in a Fitzgerald.
Well, it's a very brilliant spot, and it's actually central to our project, which we're not talking about yet, but it's Fitzgerald's first book, and he has This Side of Paradise, and there's a love scene between a boy and a girl where they're trying to make out. It's at a party, and they're trying to find a room where they can be alone. And while this is happening, another couple of kids are singing this song, and the scene takes place in 1917. Another couple of kids are singing this song from Very Good Eddie, and so Fitzgerald contrasts the two. You have this kind of beautiful song about an idealized youthful romance. It's even called Babes in the Woods, and it's about love and innocence and childhood and all that. And while that's going on, the boy and the girl are trying to get together. They're trying to be alone together. And the way Fitzgerald plays those two things against each other, it's, you know, this is Fitzgerald's first novel. He was 20 when he wrote it. When people read that, and this scene in particular, they knew that a major American author had just arrived on the scene. And that one sequence in particular, when he uses the Jerome Kern song.
Well, and Jerome Kern wasn't exactly chopped liver either.
Exactly.
So let's hear from the 1977 Broadway revival of Very Good Eddie, Charlie Ripley, and Virginia Seidel.
Little lady, don't be depressed and blue. After all, we're both in the same canoe. Have no fear, can't you see I'm here until our journey is through? Little lady, I will take care of you. Give me your hand here where we stand. We're off to slumberland. Come dry your eyes, I'll sympathize like a father, mother, brother. Moonlight is bright, kiss me goodnight, just like a sister should. Then put on your little hood, and we'll both be oh so good, like the babes in the wood.
When the babes were lost in the gloomy wood, it's no wonder they were so very good. 14 angels were watching them, so all the storybooks state. Sandman's coming, now it is getting late. Give me your hand, I understand. Watching o'er us.
be oh so good, like the babes in the
another great Kern standard from the age of F. Scott Fitzgerald, who that was lyrics by Oscar Hammerstein, who lived, as many writers and composers and performers did, in Great Neck, which is actually, I guess, West Egg, the scene for The Great Gatsby. So, okay, so here's your opening. Now you can tell us, Emily, about this wonderful show that you and Will are putting on.
It's really exciting for me because I'm just personally very interested in keeping the art form of cabaret alive, and I think that it went through a period where it maybe hit a little moment of stasis. So in my own shows, I'm trying to bring cabaret to all ranges of audiences, to younger audiences, to put the music that I grew up in, or that I grew up with, or my parents grew up with, to give that the same treatment that one would give the Great American Songbook. And I think this F. Scott Fitzgerald show is really exciting because I like to describe it as it's a combination of a cabaret show, a literary salon, and a really fantastic wild party. Will has put together, we call it a Bible, of all of the passages and all of the pieces of music that are specifically referenced in Fitzgerald's work. And we're going to be combining singing and performing those songs as different characters in Fitzgerald's work. And also we're going to have one of our actors play Fitzgerald. We're going to take the form of a lot of these different characters and intersperse it. So it's just going to be a wonderful theatrical evening where I think you're going to be learning about Fitzgerald, but not in the traditional, and then he was born, and then he wrote this, and here's a song format.
You can always get that on the web.
Exactly.
So, and the gin will be better in your show, right?
Certainly.
Well, the gin is quite lovely in the car lot.
Not in the bathtub.
Maybe not if you do it.
My gin.
So, Will, why don't you let us into our next song, which became, kind of reprised as a standard in the 50s by Tony Bennett, but probably has a much longer provenance, The Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Well, that's a, yes, you're right. That was one of Tony Bennett's very first hits. And it goes back to a 1934 movie called Moulin Rouge, and I never noticed that coincidence until now. It was a picture starring Constance Bennett, not Tony Bennett. I did notice that coincidence, but it's a Harry Warren song called The Boulevard of Broken Dreams, Fitzgerald drops a reference to it in one of his stories, and it's a very wonderful, very evocative kind of a tango kind of a number. And we definitely had to, you know, work it into our production. In fact, we're, I believe the current plan is there's a little bit of a passage from Gatsby where Nick Carraway is talking about what it's like to walk down the streets of New York at night when you're alone. And it really, it just flows immediately into the song about, you know, walking down a boulevard of broken dreams.
Well, here's Billy Eckstine to set up a very Fitzgeraldian theme.
Nightly, lights are shining brightly, feet are tripping lightly, while the music plays. Madness in the guise of gladness, overcoming sadness in a million ways. Oh, gay Paris, what have you done to me? I walk along the street of sorrow, the boulevard of broken dreams, where Gigolo and Gigolette can take a kiss without regret, so they forget their broken dreams. You laugh tonight and cry tomorrow when you behold your shattered schemes. And Gigolo and Gigolette wake up to find their eyes are wet with tears to tell of broken dreams. Here is where you'll always find me, always walking up and down. But I left my soul behind me in an old cathedral town. The joy that you find here you borrow. You cannot keep it long, it seems. But Gigolo and Gigolette still sing a song and dance along the boulevard of broken dreams.
Okay, we're going to move into the Hollywood aspect of Fitzgerald's career, which was not entirely a happy one. Either one of you like to pick up the ball for the next two songs?
Well, I believe we're going to hear Painting the Clouds with Sunshine, which is a really wonderful, snappy, peppy 1920s foxtrot. Like so many songs from that period, it's all about, you know, when you're feeling blue, just, you know, smile and you'll feel better. And there's a million songs from the 20s that say that. And in this particular case, we were trying to use that song ironically, and that we're contrasting it with one of the darker scenes from Fitzgerald. It's actually a segment in the novel Tender is the Night, which is a story about a psychiatrist. And in this particular scene, the psychiatrist is meeting a rich Spanish gentleman and his son. And the idea is that the son is homosexual and the father is trying to pay the psychiatrist to cure him of it. And while all this is going on, and this is what I hope Fitzgerald would approve, this is an ironic juxtaposition. The opening line of the song is, perhaps not coincidentally, "When I pretend I'm gay, I never feel that way. I'm only painting the clouds with sunshine." So I was looking at that as kind of a Dennis Potterian type contrast, you know, to have a song that says something that underscores the meaning of the scene in a different way. And I thought that was and it's a great fun song too. And I think the idea of juxtaposing that song and that scene, you know, would be effective. And again, as Emily is saying, this is something you don't normally see in cabaret. This is not something that you don't normally find at Don't Tell Mama or the Metropolitan Room. You know, I think it's a whole different way to take great American literature and the great American songbook and put them all on the same page.
What I find really fascinating about this period is there's a really great contrast between songs like Painting the Clouds with Sunshine that advocate supposedly to put on a happy face. But there's just such a wealth of songs like what we heard with What'll I Do and The Boulevard of Broken Dreams that are almost just wallowing in absolute misery. And I find that modern songs now, love songs, they're usually saying, oh, I'm better off without you, or what have you lost by losing me, and I'm better for it.
Put everything you own in the box to the left,
exactly,
right?
Yes, or whatever Taylor Swift is saying about her latest boyfriend. And I thought that, I think there was a great courage at that time period of people really just admitting to their despair and their melancholy. There was a frankness, and I think even in a way, a greater tolerance of emotions, which is, we think of it as a very repressed period, but I think in a way that emotions ran just a lot hotter.
They're certainly more heightened. I mean, mm-hmm. A happy song is almost ecstatically happy.
Yes.
You're not just happy, you're painting the clouds. You're up in the clouds with the sunshine.
Well,
and when you're sad, you're just the opposite.
Some clouds with sunshine. And who's performing this?
This, I believe, is Ambrose and his orchestra, a wonderful band from Great Britain.
Over to Ambrose.
Thank you. When orchids bloom in the moonlight and lovers vow to be true, I still can dream in the moonlight of one dear night that we knew. When orchids fade in the dawning, they speak of tears and goodbye. Though my dreams are shattered, like the petals scattered, still my love can never die. Twilight, when the day is through, but the shadows that fall only seem to recall all my longing. There's a dream in the moonlight upon the sea of blue. But the moonbeams that fall only seem to recall love is all, love is you. It's bloom in the moonlight. They speak of tears and goodbye. Though my dreams are shattered, like the petals scattered, still my love can never die.
That was Sylvia Sims singing the mournful tune of Vincent Eumann's. Eumann's a great Broadway composer, we were saying, a sort of Fitzgeraldian figure himself, wasn't he?
That's right. And that's from Flying Down to Rio. And Fitzgerald referenced it, ironically, in a little-known story called No Flowers. He makes reference to orchids in the moonlight.
How apt. Well, of course, Vincent Eumann's was one of the great Broadway composers of the 20s, and so many of these songs came from the Broadway reviews that I'm sure Fitzgerald must have seen or probably stumbled into the second act of a few of them. And one of my favorite songs is from the Music Box review of 1922, which is the year The Great Gatsby is set in, and our next rendition is sung by one of my favorite singers, Emily Burgle. So, Emily, is this notion of singing about sin and the devil, is that a very 20s idea, something you can tap into?
Well, it's something I can definitely tap into personally, of course. But I think in the 20s, they were just so – I just think sin was at its forefront. I mean, there was this song can get a little racy. In terms of singing it, it was a real bitch to learn, but ultimately was so satisfying. I think we've really lost the art of point and counterpoint. I mean, to hear an A section and a B section, then to hear them just flow together so beautifully. I don't really know why we don't.
Well, because it's all Jay-Z now. I mean, there's no all
but
these kind of musical
Jay-Z,
values.
But I think Jay-Z would actually lend itself well to well, point
maybe
and counterpoint.
Let's segue into Jazzy, and there's no one who syncopated better than the composer of this song, Irving Berlin. Here's Emily Burgle and Freddie Arsenault.
Happy as can be. I tell
to the devil because the jazz bands, they started picking it and put a trick in it, a jazzy kick in it. They've got a couple of old performers in heaven making a go-to bed at 11. Pack up your sins and go to the devil and you'll never have to go to bed at all.
If you care to dwell where the weather is hot, H-E-double-L is a wonderful spot. If you need to rest and you're all out of sorts, Hades is the best of the winter resorts. Paradise doesn't compare, all the nice people are there. They come there from everywhere just to revel with Mr. Devil. Nothing on his mind but a couple of horns. Satan is waiting with his jazz band and his band. Come from Alabama with a melody hot. No one gives a damn if it's music or not. Satan's melody makes you want to dance forever and you never have to go to bed at all. If you care it well, where the weather is hot, H-E-double-L is a wonderful spot. If you need to rest, then you're all out of sorts. This is the best of the winter resort. Paradise doesn't compare. All the nice people are there. They come there from everywhere just to revel with Mr. Devil. Nothing on his mind but a couple of horns. Satan is waiting with his jazz band.
That was Pack Up Your Sins and Go to the Devil by Irving Berlin, a great Broadway song from 1922. Will, do you know what the big song in 1922 was and the big performer?
You're talking about the... Some Sunny Day?
No. If you look on the playlist, it's Al Jolson.
Oh, Tootsie.
Yeah.
Oh,
so this is it's so interesting you talk about the 20s, Emily, as being an era of sin and repression and reaction against repression. It was certainly the era of big personalities like F. Scott Fitzgerald and Charles Lindbergh and Babe Ruth and Dorothy Parker and Rudolph Valentino, and certainly nobody had a bigger personality on stage than Al Jolson. So let's hear a little of his signature tune, also the big hit from 1922, The Year the Great Gatsby is Set In.
Yesterday I heard a lover sigh, goodbye, for me or mine. Seven times he got aboard his train, and seven times he hurried back to kiss his love again and tell her tootsie goodbye. Tootsie, don't cry. The choo-choo train that takes me away from you, no words can tell how sad it makes me. Kiss me, tootie, and then do it over again. Watch for the mail, I'll never fail. If you don't get a letter, then you'll know I'm in jail. Tootsie, don't cry. Tootsie, goodbye. And then do it over again. Watch for the mail, I'll never fail. If you don't get a letter, then you'll know I'm in jail. Tootsie, don't cry. Goodbye, Tootsie, goodbye.
This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on WPPB 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting. And I'm thrilled to have not one, folks, but two special guests today, Emily Bergel and Will Friedwald, who are eminently knowledgeable and charming and musical. And they are utterly in the spirit of The Great Gatsby, because they are currently putting on a, what would you call it, a mini, not quite a cabaret
it's
performance.
Sort of, it's either a very ambitious cabaret show or a very intimate musical theater piece. It's kind of a hybrid.
Or both.
Or both, you know.
Right.
It's not either
two,
or. Exactly.
Two in one.
It's a fabulous cabaret literary salon
experience.
Fet.
Deary. Now, all of our listeners who are going to zoom on the Long Island Expressway to go see it will see it when and where?
It's at the Cafe Carlyle in their late night spot on four weeknights in June 13, 14, 20, and 21.
A wonderful boy. So that's why Elaine Stritch has retired to Michigan, is it?
Because she couldn't compete.
Exactly.
She
couldn't
compete.
She didn't
want to open for us.
That was so funny.
She saw Emily coming around the back and said, I'm out of here.
You don't know how true that is. Emily does a wonderful, an affectionate parody of Elaine Stritch that she's done at the Carlisle and at the at Rose Hall, and it is brilliant. And Miss Stritch herself has appreciated that very bit.
She came to see it, and at the end I thanked her and said that she was such an inspiration, and she said, Emily, you're a true original, and everybody here feels the same way. And I said, I am going to cry. I was so overcome with emotion. And she said, where I am, everybody cries.
Wow.
She's just had that in her back pocket.
On the receiving end of, what did she say? She said the thing about prostitutes. What did they say? It wasn't the work, it was the stairs. Yeah, there you go. So a token
lead into Ain't We Got Fun.
There you go. A token song of the 1920s. Can you talk a little bit about the 1974 film, which made such an impression on me, and maybe Nelson Riddle, who I'm sure is a huge icon for you.
It's a wonderful score. Nelson Riddle did some brilliant work. And to compare it to the current picture, you know, everything that Riddle writes in that score, it actually sounds a lot like 40s and 50s Aaron Copland to me. So he wasn't really trying to write stuff that only sounded like 1920. You know, he wasn't just, you know, restricted to that period. Of course, Aaron Copland is a long way away from hip-hop. But I think this is a particularly appropriate song, and it figures prominently in you know, The Great Gatsby, the novel. It's a song that's saying, you know, all you need to have to be happy is to have someone to love you, and it doesn't matter if you have a dime or not. Whereas, of course, the message of, you know, Gatsby's obsession is exactly the opposite. He has to have all the money in the world and lay it at the feet of the woman he loves. So to have Clip Springer playing this song in the middle of the scene where we see all the opulence and all, you know, Gatsby's mega mansion and him just throwing money at his guests and everybody just to show off how rich he is, to have this song being played at that moment, which it is not in the film, the current film, It just shows you how specific Fitzgerald was and the mood he was trying to create.
And, of course, how fitting also that the very lavish and opulent movie was not a financial success.
Hmm. Produced by David Merrick, oddly enough.
Oh,
one of his
right?
two movies, yes. So let's hear a period recording of Van and Schenck singing Ain't We Got Fun, and we'll segue into Nelson Riddle's wonderful arrangement from the 1974 film of The Great Gatsby.
If a mixture gathers round and rather, walk the party thick door. Men, the grocer and the butcher's pet, men who call for the rent. But within the happy Gatsby and his bride of only a year, seem to be so cheerful here, then fearful of the chatter you hear. Every morning, every evening, Ain't We Got Fun.
Every morning, every evening, Ain't We Got Fun. Not much money, oh, but highly, Ain't We Got Fun. The rents are paid, dear, we haven't a fuss. But smiles were made, dear, for people like us. In the winter, in the summer, don't we have fun? Times are bum and getting bummer, still we have fun. There's nothing surer, the rich get rich and the poor get children. In the meantime, in between time, ain't we got fun? Landlord's mad and getting madder, ain't we got fun?
Giggling Ghosts of the Great Gatsby. That's all the G's I've got. Emily, would you like to tell us a little bit about our next song?
Well, you know, everybody knows Jazz Baby from Carol Channing's rendition, iconic rendition, in the original Thoroughly Modern Millie, which, of course, makes me extremely frightened to sing it.
Apprehensive.
Right, apprehensive. But I shall be standing upon the shoulders of a giant. But it's actually...
She's pretty tall.
She is.
Carol Channing, yeah.
She's like 6 feet tall.
Yeah, yeah, very tall.
That's so funny. She appears... Most people appear larger on screen.
Yet for her years, she's tall.
But yet she appears smaller in a funny way. I suppose it's the voice or... But it's originally recorded in 1921, and in our show, it comes out of a passage from The Beautiful and the Damned where they discuss jazz babies.
Okay, let's hear Carol Channing herself.
My daddy was a ragtime trombone player. My mommy was a ragtime cabaret-er. They met one day at a tango tea. There was a syncopated wedding, and then came me. Folks think the way I walk is a fad, but it's a birthday present from my mommy and daddy. I'm a jazz baby, little jazz baby, that's me. There's something in the tone of a saxophone that makes me do a little wiggle all my own. 'Cause I'm a jazz baby, full of jazz bow harmony. That walk the dog and bowl the jack that caused all the talk is just a copy of the way I naturally walk. 'Cause I'm a jazz baby, little jazz baby, that's me. Locked to sleep while the cradle went to and fro, to and fro, to the tune of the tickle toe. Ever since I started in to grow, love to hear the music play and see my dear old mammy swaying. Razzmatazz, that's all I ever knew. All day long I never would get through. Jazzmatazz, that's all I wanna do. So play me a little jazz. Jazz, baby, full of jazz bow harmony. The wailing of the saxes when those fellas go mad cannot compare with what I got from mommy and dad. So hear this jazz, baby. Little jazz,
baby, that's me.
That was Carol Channing singing Jazz Baby. And of course, if you read The Great Gatsby, you know many of the climaxes occur in that great New York spot, the Plaza Hotel. But if I were to put forth the ultimate 1920s spot in New York City, I might say the Algonquin Hotel, where our guest Emily Burgle has performed herself. And why don't you talk a little quickly about that date and the song of yours we're going to play.
Well, I was actually one of the last cabaret shows to ever play the historic Oak Room.
You were certainly the last star, the last headliner to emerge from the Oak Room.
Yes, I think I was the final cabaret baby birthed in that famous room before the Marriott decided to convert it into a Marriott Rewards breakfast bar. Because I'm sure we'll be talking about that 100 years from now.
Yeah, right.
This is my version of 10 Cents a Dance on my album. I talk about how I rip off a couple bits from Carol Burnett. I listen to a lot of different recordings of the song. Ruth Etting did it
That's right. She introduced it. It's really associated with her. Yeah.
But I tried to combine the innocence of Ruth Etting and the comedic chops of Carol Burnett and then make it into a kind of a dirtier showgirl, because I find there's a lot of prostitute songs out there that don't really sound like they're being sung by actual prostitutes.
Well, for me, you channel the spirit of Myrtle from The Great Gatsby in this particular number. So let's hear Emily Burgle live from the Algonquin Hotel.
I work at the palace ballroom, but gee, that palace is cheap. When I get back to my chilly hall room, I'm much too tired to sleep. I'm one of these lady teachers, a beautiful hostess, you know, one that the palace features at exactly a dime a throw. 10 cents a dance, that's what they pay me. Gosh, how they weigh me down. 10 cents a dance, pansies and rough guys, tough guys who tear my gown. 7 to midnight, I think I found my hero, but it's a queer romance. All that you need is a ticket. Come on, big boy, 10 cents a dance. Fighters and sailors and bow-legged tailors can purchase the tickets and rent me next. Butchers and barbers and rats from the harbors, sweethearts, my good luck has sent me next. Though by the chorus of elderly beaux, stockings are porous with holes in the toes. I'm here till closing time. Dance and be merry, it's only a dime. Sometimes I think I found my hero, but it's a queer romance. All that you need is a ticket. Come on, big boy, 10 cents a day.
We are winding up our special broadcast about The Great Gatsby here on Broadway to Main Street, which I guess today runs all the way out to East Egg with our guests Will Friedwald and Emily Burgle. And they are working together on a wonderful theater/cabaret piece called
Tales from the Jazz Age, the F. Scott Fitzgerald Songbook.
Is that what we settled on? I like that.
That's the executive decision that was made.
Right now on the air. Who knows? And it'll be at the Cafe Carlyle from June.
It's June 13, 14, 2021.
Okay.
In the famous late night slot.
And then there's a 2-bathtub gin minimum for the show?
It's actually, for the Carlyle, it's a bargain. They scale down the prices after 10 o'clock. So.
And if people are coming from out of town, it's, you know, there's always the question, what do you do after you
what'll
see
I
the
do?
Show?
Right.
What'll I do after I see this show?
You'll go see Tales from the Jazz Age at the Carlyle. Now, we know that F. Scott Fitzgerald wrote many books, including The Great Gatsby, but Tender is the Night is, I think, his only book title that actually has a song dedicated to it, yes?
Well, there is a song for Gene Austin did a song called This Side of Paradise. Again, they just took Fitzgerald's title and wrote a song around it. He didn't have anything to do with it. But this is from the 1962 film of the Fitzgerald novel, Tender is the Night. And he got that title from Keats, Ode to a Nightingale.
Very good. And one of my favorite nightingales is Steve Lawrence. So let's hear him sing it. Thank you.
There's no one in the world except the two of us. Should tomorrow find us disenchanted, we have shared a love that few have known. Summer's by the sea, a sailboat in Capri. These memories shall be our very own. Even though our dreams may vanish with the morning light, how tender the
Steve Lawrence. Well, we're concluding our wonderful show dedicated to the music of F. Scott Fitzgerald and the way it surrounds his various wonderful works of literature. And we're going to close out with a very poignant song, I think, for everyone called Goodnight, Sweetheart. And Emily Bergel and Will Friedwald maybe fill in a little about how this fits into his work.
Well, just to give you another bit of a wrap-up, Goodnight, Sweetheart is a song that Fitzgerald's biographer says was his favorite song, that he used to go around singing it himself, which is very interesting. And he said that he couldn't sing at all, but he loved the song and would go around singing it. So I just think it's a sweet, very nice sort of homage to Scott himself to put it in there.
Thank you, Will. Thank you, Emily. And go check out Tales of the Jazz Age.
Good night, sweethearts.
Good night, sweetheart. Sleep will banish sorrow. Tears and parting may make us forlorn, but with the dawn, a new day is born. Good night, sweetheart. Though I'm not beside you, good night, sweetheart. Still my love will guide you. Dreams enfold you, in each one I'll hold you. Good night, sweetheart. Good night. The day is over, and its cares and woes, in peaceful, sweet repose, will fade and die. A dreamy dreamland beckons you and me. How happy life could be if we could dream forever. Good night, sweetheart. Till we meet tomorrow. Good night, sweetheart. Sleep will banish sorrow. Tears and parting may make us forlorn, ah, but with a dawn, a new day is born. Good night, sweetheart. Though I'm not beside you, good night, sweetheart. Still my love will guide you, dreams enfold you, in each one I'll hold you. Good night, sweetheart, good night. Good night, sweetheart. Good night.
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.